Hi, folks. Just before I get into the show with Mondo, I want to share that probably less than 2 hours after I recorded this show, Holly and I were involved in a bad car accident. A guy who was wanted by the police ran a red light at high speed in the grey SUV in the photo, hit our red Holden Commodore broadside, spinning it around, and then with his forward motion, he also hit an old lady in the white car going in the other direction. We didn't see it coming. I suspect the SUV may have been a stolen car, though I'm not sure at this point. And it seems to have a bull bar on the front of it too, which would have added to the impact, I suspect. Thank God the airbags from the left side deployed, protecting Holly. I was in extreme pain and winded and unable to see due to the airbags as the car was in a spin. It took several minutes before I got my breath back, but my whole abdomen was hurting, and bystanders said the guy in the SUV passed multiple cars before running through a red light and hitting us at high speed. He apparently fell out of his car, and then he got up and abused people and took off on foot, perhaps on drugs with adrenaline. No one knew where he went. He must have been hurt, though. Anyway, Holly and I and an old lady in the white car were taken to the hospital in an ambulance, and they ran tests and CT scans and x-rays on me to check for internal injuries, since my whole abdomen was in a lot of pain. And Holly's neck was also sore, and doctors attended to her too. But after about 8 hours, they let us go home last night, feeling that we had no serious injuries. We're pretty sore still today, but praise God, that's all. The old lady in the white car suffered a cracked hip and is still in hospital, but may be let out today, she hopes. And actually, she was an inspiration, was super friendly, with a wonderful sense of humour, in spite of her pain too. And Holly had text interaction with her this morning. She's still happy and in good spirits. Anyway, staff at the hospital were great, and the police officer that attended us was really good too. And he told me they captured the culprit and had him in the police cells, as he was wanted on other charges as well, and would also likely be charged with causing the accident too. And Holly and I are grateful that God protected us from worse harm, because if you look at where he hit us, if it had been slightly more forward, she would have copped it full brunt. But we now have no car and are basically stuck in our small rural settlement with no transport. We were due to go away for Christmas in a few days, and don't know how long till insurance will pay us out. I think the car will probably be written off. The back axle's broken, I think, and the wheel is much worse on an angle than the picture shows. So I doubt they'll try and fix the car. But I'm not sure where and what we will do from here to be able to go away or whatever. So would really appreciate your prayers. Being stuck without a car in a rural area, quite far from a big town, with no public transport, it's not a lot of fun. So today we're just resting and recovering, still sore, but we're really grateful that God saved us from serious injuries. And so now I'll play the show that I recorded with Mondo. Hi there, folks. Welcome to another episode of the A Minute to Midnight show. I'm coming to you from New Zealand, and with me I have Mondo Gonzalez in the USA. So Mondo, it's great to have you back. It's been a few weeks since we last caught up. Of course, lots has happened since then, and there are some pretty interesting topics to cover today.
Yeah, it's good to be here, always with you, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's just go straight into it. I'm going to ask you, what's going on with all this drone stuff happening in the US, and not only the US, you know, like even overseas too, but the main, you know, places that they're centered in the US supposedly, but I've had people telling me they've been seeing them in Ohio and numbers as well. So something's strange going on.
Well, the question I have for you, have anything down there with you guys?
I haven't heard of anything down here, but I'm not saying it hasn't been happening, but nothing that I know of. So, okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, it is fascinating because this is one of the largest, I would say, universal documentations of strange phenomena that we see in the sky. And generally, you know, it's people are recording with their phones and posting it, and it's been pretty amazing. you know, you're going to have naturally a variety of videos, some lights, but clearly some are showing winged craft. You know, that's, I think that's why it's interesting to me why they're not being called UAPs or even UFOs, that somebody got the memo that they're going to be called drones, because while obviously they look like drones. And then you have even a few weeks ago, it really kind of started with some sightings in the UK over some United States military bases in the UK. So here, no doubt, as you mentioned, New Jersey's been the hot spot, but the Oregon coast they've seen some there, even in California, Ohio, even down into Texas. So you have this like triangular effect across, you know, going down completely across. I can give you my initial thoughts that the thing that has been most compelling is, number one, the documentation, undeniable. So that, I mean, it's like on the nightly news by everybody, all the major networks, all the local stations. And in fact, you have even many of them, the sheriffs and the police departments going out, like the governor of New Jersey, they're going out getting their own footage. And so it was even in Missouri. I was just there recently and there was some stuff going on there. But the one thing that I find, several things I'll say, is that the government, the Pentagon came out and made a statement that, well, we don't really know what's going on. It's not officially a military operation. And, you know, the Pentagon reporter or public press woman in this case, I don't expect her to know anything anyway. She's just doing what she's saying what she's supposed to say. But, you know, the common Christian response is, well, it's just demonic. I don't think so. I don't think it's demonic in the sense of that it's demons driving around in a very fixed wing, 8 foot, 10 feet wide craft, or even some of the other stuff that have been described as big as SUVs. So let me give you two things. I have a friend of mine who is used to work in the Homeland Security. He was definitely a veteran of war in Afghanistan and other things. And he had called me and he said, hey, I got a friend his friend works in the top sites, you know, intelligence. And so his friend had called and told him, hey, look, all this stuff you're seeing, it's not us. It's not us. It's not us. So then that leads you down the path of thinking, okay, well, if it's not the United States military, then is it NHI? You know, that's the new buzzword or acronym, non-human intelligence. And so is it aliens? And then you have one of the senators coming out and saying, well, this is a Iranian mothership parked off the coast. Well, mothership, you think of UFOs, but that's not what he meant. He meant like cargo ship. And we do know, just trying to puzzle through all these things, we do know that the Iranians, that they were building massive drones. Obviously, they launched many at Israel back in April and October. And then we know that they were going to be building and selling. They already were selling them to Russia for the Ukraine war. And they were going to be building their own manufacturing base in Russia from Iran, who would build them and design them. So Iran, no doubt, is definitely has some level of sophistication. So you have that angle. Okay, so you got the Iranian mothership, you got this other guy saying they're non-human, that's not from us, and then you have these people, again, in government, not only the senators, you have the different congressional people from the House of Representatives, as well as other local officials and sheriffs going out with their own drones and trying to document it. And nobody has answers, and they're not getting any answers from the Pentagon, and it's just like nobody knows. You know what? So one other thing is there was a local sheriff there in New Jersey who went out with his own drone and he threw it up and he was chasing the drone. And supposedly he wasn't able to keep up with it because, his drone was only able to go about 40 miles an hour and these other ones were going faster. So at the end of the day, those are our scenarios. I can give you my opinion because one of the things that was early on that was stood out to me was going back to these alleged Iranian drones from October or April. Well, what we know is they sent not only cruise missiles and other ballistic missiles to Israel, you know, just indiscriminately, but they also sent drones. Well, the United States, in alignment with Israel, the Israeli Air Force, as well as the Jordanian Air Force, they sent up their F-35s, and they're on it, and they're shooting down these drones. These drones, some of them maximum 150 miles an hour. So there's not like they're super fast. It's just not with a jet. Okay. And even when you're in all the videos that you see, they're moving very, very, very predictably in a straight line. You could tell, again, they have wing craft. But when the Pentagon gets up and says, we don't know, we're still figuring it out, it's under investigation. And then someone says, well, why don't you fly a jet? Well, we don't want to cause any trouble, because if we shoot one down, maybe it's over a populated area. That's just a bunch of fill in the blank. I don't believe that for 1 second, because they already proved that they would shoot down drones over Israel. And granted, there's a lot of desert there, but nevertheless, I can tell you what, if that drone was crossing over populated areas, they would shoot that thing down and run the risk of because you never know what, if there's a warhead on it or anything else that would maximize damage. But if you get it early, you're going to run the risk of it maybe hitting a house, but it's not going to blow up. So in my mind, I think just trying to approach it from some common sense, I think that the United States military is 100% behind this. Because today, we've seen this has happened. If you fly a Cessna airplane, which again is not much bigger than an SUV, and you're flying over the East Coast and you're heading in a restricted zone, like towards the White House, man, you're going to have an F-16 on your, in a matter of minutes, and they will shoot you down. So the fact that the military universally is going and not shooting these down tells me something. Secondly, there was, because I'll say this, that people are recording everything, and there's not been a single time, or at least in New Jersey, where I've seen somebody go, oh, wow, there goes a jet, you know, to chase it down. You could see that in Israel. There was one record I was told, I didn't confirm it, but what somebody told me that they saw in Missouri a jet go by. But what you see there is, at least in the United States, you do have, the governors do have some access to some of the planes, like at the National Guard level. And so you could see a governor being like, well, we don't care. We're going to take care of business over our land if the United States federal government's not going to do it. Yeah. So all that to be said, I'm very skeptical that this is an alien invasion, that it is not being done, perpetrated as some experiment or exercise by the U.S. military. Another interesting thing, people can look this up, is Stephen Greer, that people might know, Dr. Stephen Greer. He has done some, he's very much involved in the ufology movement, and he came out. He actually believes in aliens. He believes they're our friends. He believes, and he's been talking about this for a long time, that his take is that aliens are real, but the United States military, the special ops, you know, deep underground military bases, the black projects, right, special access projects, that they have been planning for a long time to have an exercise or rehearsal of an alien invasion in order to condition the public so that they can receive more money in order to offset and to try to counter these things. Now, that's Stephen Greer saying this for a long time. And so he just came out a few days ago and they were asking him about it. And he said, hey, this is exactly what we told you. This is exactly what we told you. We've been predicting this for 25 years. Those are absolutely not aliens, but that's why they're being quiet about it. And I actually just watched the interview earlier today, but I was thinking something similar, not necessarily about alien invasion, because he believes, again, they're friendly aliens. Okay, I don't believe that. Yeah. But that what he's been saying, it makes, again, great sense that what's happening now is definitely experimental rehearsal in order to gain money, which would not surprise me. So if we look at all the options, the one thing I find interesting, and I imagine most people would, is there was no evidence anywhere of, and this is true, they did say this, well, there's no threat to personal safety, public safety, because none of the drones did anything. They were either simply recording information. A lot of them were going over nuclear sites, which is interesting. That's been a very common thing amongst UFOs over the last, you know, several decades.
Yeah.
But they could be doing that simply just to fulfill like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, oh, it's known that UFOs go over nuclear sites. Well, they could have gone over that just to push the agenda. So, Tony, all that to say, what's your thoughts?
Well, those are interesting thoughts. I suppose the other two things that come to my mind is we've got, you know, potential world war at the moment with, you know, the Russia and Ukraine situation. So then you think, okay, could this be something to do with that, preparations for war? And then, you know, yeah, you mentioned the deep underground military bases and things, and I'm thinking people like DARPA, and, you know, is this some sort of a rehearsal, like you say? It's just interesting that it seems to be so widespread, though. It's not just a localized bit, and the fact that it's going over military bases, and you mentioned even in the UK, and, you know, it's kind of, I think there was in Germany as well, I saw this
yeah,
today.
Exactly.
So it's very... It's really weird.
Well, you know, let's go back to that, because that you're right. One of the other comments was that either Russia was involved, yeah. They were doing some reconnaissance about just coming over looking for potential. One thing I heard was they were coming over looking for heat signatures on some nuclear sites so that they can send their ballistic missiles. There is no way in anybody's universe that we would be allowing foreign, you know, that many, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of foreign drones that we could easily see without a single jet.
Yeah.
Because like, oh yeah, come on over. You know, yeah, you're a foreign entity. You want to check out our sites. Yeah, we'll go ahead. That's fine. We won't care. Now, granted.
Yeah,
no way. Mm. Now, granted, Biden allowed a weather balloon, whether it was Chinese or not, to go from over the West Coast all the way over. That is true. And they'd finally shot it down. But that's way different than hundreds and hundreds of drones every single day for weeks on end.
Yeah.
And not a single, no, we're not going to go check those out.
Yeah. And we don't know what they are. Nah.
Don't know what.
Nah.
Who do you think we're stupid?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, in my mind, I love the supernatural. I believe in fallen angels. I believe in demonic things. So I have no problem going in that direction. And generally I often do, but in this case, I think, it's just a bunch of lies. And there was some sort of exercise or rehearsal going on, for some reason. Some people are talking about, you know, Project Blue Beam and whether it's that, you know, again, an alien invasion of some kind, conditioning, but can't tell. But again, at the end of the day, there was no harm. Yeah. There was no public landings. There was some people were trying to shoot him down themselves. I got a video of a guy shooting his gun at him, you know, and which is a lot of people have guns here. There's no problem with that.
Yeah.
And then he got arrested. So you start looking at that. You're like, okay, well, who got the memo? This guy's simply trying to protect, and yet he would go get arrested.
Yeah.
Which again, that's pretty foolish, because you don't know whether it's a normal plane or not. Yeah. You shouldn't be shooting planes down. But I don't know. It smells very, very stinky as it relates to lies within the government.
Has to be. I mean, that for them to come out and say, oh, we don't know what it is, it's nothing to worry about. I mean, that's two mutually exclusive statements. We don't know what it is, therefore we don't need to worry about it.
Sleep tonight, you're fine.
Yeah.
No threat to public safety. How do you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's just ridiculous. But you're mentioning a Project Bluebeam. Now, that's actually interesting, because, well, here's a scenario. What if some of them are real drones and some of them are an experiment with something like Bluebeam to project ones in the sky and see what the reactions are, even though there may not be any real craft there?
Well, I actually do think that there was some of that, because some of the footage, which again has just exploded all over, and some of the footage, people were zooming in with their cameras, which again have a relative limit, you know, optical zoom versus digital zoom. some of the drones were close enough. You could see, again, a red light on the right wing and the white light on this wing. Others were simply lights. And the other ones seemed farther away. They seemed like lights or orbs to some degree. And they're moving like this. You had the drones, which didn't do that. You know, they weren't moving back and forth with the wing craft. They were just kind of flying straight. They weren't even moving. It was just kind of an observation. But the other ones certainly were lights in the sky, and people were looking there and like, oh, look at that, look at that. So that's a little bit more of a Project Bluebeam combination, because some of them clearly were not the typical drones, but they were far enough away that I didn't see any that you really could get some super high definition on. But so again, that helps again to put it in the camp of some secret military or you know, behind the scenes operation or exercise of some kind.
Yes, and it's just interesting. It's ongoing. It's not just wasn't just one day or one night or even a week. Yep. It's, you know, it's just pretty odd that it keeps going on, and it's in the news all the time, every day, and nothing's changing. You know, it's like, oh, we still don't care.
We're still investigating.
Yeah.
We're like, you know, and I would like to be the one asking so how many jets have you sent up? You know, how many helicopters have you sent up? I mean, clearly we got some good sophisticated equipment. You know, how many, tell us about that. Can you report on that? Well, we haven't done that yet. Well, why not?
Yeah.
Well, quit lying to us.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think people are going, hang on, something's really odd here. This doesn't add up. And so that's what's probably irking people to some degree. It's like, just come straight out and say it, you know, what it is.
Yeah, but come straight out and say it. Well, there was one other guy, and again, how do you vet some of this, that this began in late November, and it was a practice run, which again would be consistent with my so far thinking, but that it was a buildup to some massive level event that's going to happen between now and the inauguration. And so on one hand, we know that the deep state, the ones that are, again, everybody knows there's a deep state, the ones that are career people in Washington, in the FBI and CIA, and even others that are getting the black projects, they have all of a sudden said, oh, well, we've been trying to get rid of Trump for 8 years now, but now he's our guy. Okay. Yep. We like him. We love him. He's part of the global cabal. Okay. I doubt that that's the case. But what is interesting to me is it wouldn't surprise me if these people, if the things that Trump has said he was going to do, and he's appointed some very strategic people in his cabinet, which are poised starting, you know, the first week of January to be approved. Not all of them are perfect candidates, but many of them are non-politicians in many ways, and they make these claims that they are going to go after a lot of the deep state stuff. So, you know, FDA, CDC, I mean, all these things that it's like a dream come true that there'd be some level of accountability. So I keep my hope realistic, not necessarily optimistic, but realistic. But the question then is, you know, two assassination attempts, you know, possibly more to come. But would they want, do they want him in there? I don't see how they could want him in there. So is this part of some greater level of event? Because that's what this other guy was saying, that a huge event that's going to rock the United States, it's going to create chaos so that you can't have a transfer of power. I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, why would I be surprised by that? They've tried to get rid of him for 8 years and even, you know, two assassination attempts.
Well, it depends on who they is, because personally, right, I believe that Trump is part of it, and that there are people that definitely want him there. The people, I mean, the real controllers, not the little ones, you know, not the little deep state, the real one behind. I believe Trump's always been their man. I've believed that since before the first time he ran. And I see, you know, and become president. But, you know, that's not to say that there aren't people out there that don't like him and that do want him gone or whatever. But whatever that, you may be right, there could be something being set up for, you know, January or whatever, however that's going to work, you know, and perhaps this is part of it, who knows. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, Donald Trump may be the man they actually want there, the big guys, the real big guys, and really, whatever this event could be, it could actually even further give Trump more power. If you look at the people he's got, like Elon Musk and all these tech heads, the people with the real people that are setting up potentially the beast system, and Donald Trump's got them all in and around him, Uncle Elon, you know, as his, and all of that. So it's going to be real interesting to see what happens. But, the potential, with Project Bluebeam, though, the potential for all kinds of deception ahead with that is enormous.
Yeah, I think the things that they've been admitting, there's been several things over the last, really the last month, because I watched the UFO congressional hearings in November 13th. And what you came, you know, had some whistleblowers there, and they were discussing the stuff that they could say and stuff they could not say. And, but at the end of the day, what you came away with was, okay, you have a few whistleblowers, which I would love to get more information on that, that many of them have signed non-disclosure, you know, agreements where they, you know, can only say so much, otherwise they risk going to jail. But the fact of the matter is that that even is kind of problematic, because you're like, well, if you're whistleblowing, what are you doing? You're going back to your bosses and saying, I'm going to go share this. What can I share?
Yeah. So
that's very, you know, I want to know what that exactly means, because they'll only go so far. I'm sorry, I can't share that with you unless I'm in a skip. And you're like, I thought you were a whistleblower. But, you know, I understand they have things at stake, you know, in their careers and whatever else. But they are, again, been given permission to say certain things. And so then you kind of wonder, well, what is that? So all these things, but what I was going to say was what you came away with was the hearing in 23 and the hearing in 24, and even this latest, is that the United States Congress has no authority over these issues. There is another group that's working that they cannot get access to or hold accountable in any form. They're up there trying, but obviously, you know, even right now, again, senators and congressmen are like, what's going on with these drones? We need answers. Get the Pentagon in here. And she comes in, well, you know, it's under investigation. And then, so that tells you that they're not in control.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't even believe the president's in control. Whoever the president is, ultimately, he's still answerable to somebody bigger who's behind the scenes. I'm going to throw the cat in the pigeons here, though. Do you think, what do you think, are there non-human entities or partially human hybrid type entities in anywhere on this world, in this earth now, pulling strings?
Well, I mean, obviously all I could do is speculate.
Yeah, obviously.
Because I don't have any hard evidence.
Yeah.
What I've seen in, let's talk theologically for a moment first. Could God have created non-human intelligence? We know there's angels, okay? Let's just say we understand angels. Angels, yes, they're in the Bible, and they're non-human intelligence, okay? So we got that. Are there other physical type beings, you know, that are from another planetary system? Theologically, the Bible is silent. So, but which means there could be or there couldn't be. So that doesn't bother me either way. I can't say. I mean, where's it? I can't speak where the Bible isn't spoken. So, but what we do know is, at least from story and lore, right, legend, that there are these other beings from other places that have come and made an agreement. They've spoken. They've had meetings with Eisenhower and other presidents in the past, and so they've made agreements. And so they are pulling the strings, or at least some strings behind. I mean, that's at least the lore. How do I know that? I can't know that. And so will that be part of the final great delusion, where you have, you know, again, an invasion? You know, again, Stephen Greer would say, well, that's part of the great deception for the military contractors. Other Christians would say, well, no, that's part of the great delusion that's going to bring in the power of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
So it's all the stuff that I've seen and heard, and even all the ufologists, even those that are Christian that are solid, at the end of the day, they're like, if you force me, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have nothing to bring out with confirmation except some anecdotal evidence, stories, which again, those stories could be planted.
Yeah.
And again, just to confirm confirmation bias, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but what about, we had Genesis 6, obviously, and the Nephilim and the, all of that. So how do you think that potentially plays in?
So that now that you did ask that. So as a second question, if we talk about hybrids, now to me, that's biblical. We have no doubt of seeing Nephilim in the Old Testament before and after the flood. That's crystal clear. I think the text is crystal clear on that. How exactly do they come to play in the final end days? That's a little harder to discern. You do have Jesus's comment, as people know, Matthew 24, that it'll be like the days of Noah. Mm. And certainly the days of Noah were very problematic. I think it extends just beyond men were evil. Okay. Yes. Genesis 6:5, because a person reading the Bible would obviously go back to Noah. The only time you get Noah is Genesis 6, 7, and 8, and into 9, and that's it. So you're going to go back and go, okay, yeah, there was wickedness, but there was also, again, this supernatural intrusion creating these hybrids. So what I find fascinating is all the scenarios that I've heard even prophecy teachers discuss, again, it's very speculative, because when you say, okay, how exactly are the Nephilim going to be involved? They don't really know. Is there an army? Are they like for David Jacobs, his book, basically walking among us, that he believes that they're part of the abduction program has been to create these hybrids who look like us, and they're part of the end time army. It could be the case. It wouldn't be a surprise, and it wouldn't be unprecedented. The other thing I find, there is one verse in the Bible which I find fascinating, and that's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 13, verse 3, which is in the Septuagint version. And it's describing, Isaiah 13 is very much an eschatological passage and talking about God's judgment at the end of the age on the world. And in Isaiah 24, the earth will be shaken. It'll be moved like a drunkard because it's just God's had enough. Well, in that passage of Isaiah 13, God is speaking, and he says that in the Septuagint, he's going to bring giants, gigantes, to come and to accomplish his wrath. Mm-hmm. And so it's fascinating there that again, that word is used for Nephilim. And so are the Nephilim going to be unleashed in the end as part of the end time delusion as wrath? Well, the other thing that I find fascinating is if we think about these giants, it says the gates are opened. So in one sense, you could pull that and connect it, loosely with Revelation 9, where the abyss, the angel comes down, opens the bottomless pit. He's got the key, and all these demonic hordes come out of the earth like locusts. And in one sense, if people take the view that demons are the spirits of dead Nephilim, mm-hmm. then some of them have gone to Sheol and the abyss, and that's where they were scared. Remember in Matthew 8, Luke 8, don't send us. Have you come to send us to the abyss before the time? So they didn't want to go there. There's some that are there and some that are still roaming. And so, but if Isaiah 13 matches up with Revelation 9, that God opens up the gates and these demonic hordes come out, that would be a nice path. But that's not necessarily a physical human looking guy, coming down as a hybrid.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. We have all this information, but it's like we lack, and maybe the Lord did that for a reason, but we lack any of these super strong pieces of data which would tie it together and fill in some of the gaps.
Absolutely. That's the thing. There is no definitive evidence for any of these things. I mean, there's no UFO in a museum that someone can go, well, this one crashed and look at the, or there's not even any single photograph that you can see it really clearly, or this is an alien and that's not a doctored photograph, or none of these things have real concrete evidence, and you've got to wonder why after all of these years and years of people documenting all this stuff, why do we have nothing concrete?
Yeah, it reminds me of And this comes back to the same conversation. It reminds me of even like the Bigfoot phenomenon, where what do you have there? You have casts of footprints, you know, stuff like that. But the thing that I come back to on all this is what anybody would call epistemology. How do we know what we know? Too often in our modern world, we only limit, at least in argument or in discussions, epistemology to the scientific method, the empirical method. That, well, if it, the only thing that are true, we got to trust the science. So we say, okay, science is determined by if I can put it in a lab or I can do a test. Mm. And that is certainly one way of establishing something that is true. But the other thing that to me is we have a biblical basis for is, well, if I asked anybody, okay, at least an American and maybe yourself even, what's your confidence level, you know, between 1 and 100, 100 being absolutely certain, okay, what's your confidence level that George Washington existed?
Probably most people would say 100, wouldn't they?
I think they're automatically, well, 100, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But from a philosophical level, if somebody asked me, I'd say, well, probably 99.9. I mean, I've never met the guy. I never saw his body, right? So what that means is, but what we're saying is I don't doubt that it is a fact, you know, of history that George Washington existed. I've never met him. I cannot use the empirical method on that, but it doesn't change the idea that we've established truth. And so how do we know that? Well, we call it anecdotal evidence. We call it eyewitness testimony. Well, there's the reason I believe it is because there was many eyewitnesses that wrote about him. And now I don't know them either, but you have a collection of testimony of eyewitnesses, which is exactly what the Gospel of Luke is built on. Chapter 1:1-4, he says, hey, I'm writing this about the Jesus, and I got eyewitnesses, and I'm writing to you as best as I could. So how much do I believe the Gospels, right? 100%. I never met Jesus in person, but I based it on the testimony. So in that regard, the thing that compels me, even as it relates to Bigfoot in some degrees, is you have all this anecdotal evidence of people, very high-level people, sheriffs, park rangers, thousands upon thousands ago. I saw something there. Now, that doesn't mean every sighting is something, but the people who are hunters, who are in the know, that have lived there, I know what a bear looks like, and that wasn't a bear. Okay, so you take that idea, and then we realize the empirical method hasn't worked, but the other method of understanding of anecdotal, not everything's true, but you have an overwhelming testimony of credible people. Well, you come back to the UFO phenomenon, and you have people that are going, I know what I saw, or I was abducted. And then even that brings a level of credibility because John Mack, David Jacobs, Bud Hopkins, Carla Turner, all these very sophisticated people, Harvard professors and others, they're doing their research, and they're going, I thought these guys were cranks, crackpots. But they're not. And there's a consistency there. So I think it's time that we at least give some level of acknowledgement, or else we're hypocrites, especially as Christians, to this anecdotal evidence, because that's, again, one of the very foundations of the gospel itself. So to me, I think that there's a little bit more there that we can at least be open-minded to.
And I would suppose that it's going to become more obvious as the end times develop further and further, what is what, and the deceptions start rolling out, which obviously for something to be a deception, it has to be pretty good, because otherwise no one gets deceived by it. And I mean, you look around now, I see Christians being deceived by things. I'm going, how can you not see through that? And yet people are being deceived by a lot of stuff. And I guess the point is the further we get on, the more convincing the deceptions are going to have to be for people to become deluded and totally deceived, and even to follow the Antichrist.
Yeah, we know that this is the thing is, you know, there are things that are, we have to, again, words mean something. So I can deceive you by lying to you with a lie. Okay. Something that's not true in reality. But I can also deceive you by something that is real, but my intent is to lead you in a road and give misdirect. So what we see there is both of those efforts in the end times. Again, the first thing Jesus says is in Matthew 24:4, make sure no one deceives you. Many are going to be saying this, saying that. But we also have Revelation 13 that the false prophet, the Antichrist, when the false prophet comes down, he's going to be calling down fire from heaven. And so these are real events that are meant to deceive, again, with an end result. But it's supernatural. It's real. We know 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, talking about the great delusion. The arrival of the man of sin, man of lawlessness, comes with all power, lies, and signs and wonders, you know, that are meant to bring a deception. It doesn't mean that the actual action is false or that when he's calling down fire from heaven, it's not real. Yeah. We just learned that it's supernatural, that it's real. But he's going to make a claim to be from somewhere or to be with this agenda under supernatural events. And this is why God warns in advance. And the average person, I mean, as Christians, we have the Bible. But, you know, we all talk with people who don't know an ounce of Bible or even a biblical worldview. And we go, you believe that? And whether it's evolution, all the stuff with COVID, believing the government would never do that. And you see the lack of discernment is off the charts.
It is.
So imagine if we take the Bible out for a moment, we bring in the great delusion, the restrainer has been removed, whatever that is exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of theories. But now all of a sudden God has lifted it up. They're sitting ducks. They're going to believe anything that walks.
Yeah, you did right. Yeah, absolutely. So basically, here and now, for people like us, the obvious thing is read your Bible, read it for yourself, you know, study it, get it ingrained in you so that you're less likely to be deceived. Because there's an awful lot of Christians that never even crack their Bible open. They get their Christianity from the pulpit.
And you said it right, because the first thing what I would tell people, you know, I'm sure there's Christians and non-Christians that might stumble across this, but if you're a non-Christian, it's not just reading the Bible. You need to get saved.
Yes.
You need to get a new nature, a new heart, and put your faith and trust in Jesus, and he will begin to open your eyes, because John 3:3 says you can't even see the kingdom of God without being born again. So there's blinders. I remember I was not raised a Christian. So I remember getting saved, and the blinders came off, and I started looking around, and I remember thinking to myself, how in the world was all this going on? And I never saw it. Mm. And so then, of course, we're not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12, through the scripture, no doubt. So get saved. But if you're already saved, get in the book. If you're a Christian, you have got to see things through a biblical worldview. Don't simply just keep your eyes blind, because these real events that are coming, these miraculous events that are true. And let me just end it here, this comment, because most people say, no, Satan doesn't do miracles, or doesn't have false prophecy, or doesn't have real prophecy. Well, that would be generally the case. God has put limits on him. But there's a passage specifically in Deuteronomy chapter 13. People can read this themselves. They can look it up. And God says, if someone comes along and says a prediction, basically, I'm summarizing. If somebody comes along and predicts something and it comes to pass, but they then guide you to seek after other gods, know that I have not sent them, and I have sent them to test you. So at the end of the day, somebody could come along, and even if they had a predictive prophecy, or they've called down fire from heaven or a miraculous sign, if they're calling anybody to worship anybody other than the God of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit, then God's like, what are you going to do? It's a test. Because 5 chapters later in Deuteronomy 18, that's where he says about the false prophet. If he says something and it doesn't come to pass, he says something in my name, it doesn't come to pass, then don't fear him. I didn't send him. But we do have the reality. What Jews and others, they need to read Deuteronomy 13 and they need to Revelation 13. Because Revelation 13, you have miracles that are pointing people to the beast and the dragon.
Yeah.
And God says, I've sent this to test you, whether you're going to truly follow after me. So get saved, read the Bible, be aware.
And just quickly closing, you know, we have the story of Moses in the Old Testament and the snakes and the staffs. You know, the magicians were able to turn their staffs into snakes. That was not God. That was obviously demonic power. So, and ultimately Moses' one was, you know, stronger. and that was God. But the point is that the magicians were able to perform genuine miracles, and the Bible is pretty clear about that. So I can't see any problem with Satan being able to manifest through his servants all kinds of false signs and wonders to deceive people in the end. But ultimately, like you say, if they're leading you to some other God other than Jesus and salvation through Jesus Christ, then you know where they've come from. They haven't come from God. They've come from the other source, and sure, there's power there. Okay, now I know you've got another appointment, so we better look to wrap up here. Can you tell our listeners where they find you, Mondo, where they find you online?
If people go to prophecywatchers.com, they can go to a little tab that says where to find us, and that's the easiest way. We're on YouTube. We're on Roku. We have a weekly podcast. Rumble. We're on a variety of places, but we're doing updates all the time. We're doing, you know, different things with conferences and other places. But yeah, prophecywatchers.com, and they can find all of our material there, you know, our magazine and everything else.
Sounds great. And that was a really interesting discussion. Let's try and get another one happening in the new year. So have a great end of the year, and it was really awesome having you back today.
Yeah, you also. We do plan on being there in May in Auckland.
Yeah. So. Oh, that's awesome. Yep.
We're gonna be back. It's on the books now. I think we even got a date of early May or something like that.
So. Yeah, we'll fill the people in. That's back to New Zealand. Once we get closer to the time and know more details, that'll be great. And look forward to seeing you again.
Be great.
Awesome. Thank you. Also, folks, please make sure you subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com. Go down the right-hand side of the page. Make sure that's where you subscribe, where it says enter your email to subscribe to blog. And we do post all of our shows and interviews and articles on our website. And A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. And if anyone is able to help us, that's always much appreciated. Huge thank you to the folks that do. And if anyone else is able to help by donating, it's always appreciated. And you can do that at our website, aminutetomidnight.com as well. And the music that's used in all of our videos I've written, played, and recorded. God bless. God willing, we'll be back later, before too long, with another episode.